Okay, this is a traffic and safety meeting on May 15th, 2019. I will take roll. Chairman Reese. Commissioner Bass.
Yes.
Commissioner Cleary.
Here.
Commissioner Gillis.
Here.
Commissioner J. Rahman. Commissioner Asga.
Here.
Commissioner Wade. Okay, first up on the agenda, we have the minutes from the November 14th and January of 2018 and January 16th of 2019 Traffic and Safety Commission meetings. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Cleary. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. That was easy. Next, we have, we have public comment listed. Does anybody...
There were two sets of
I had wrapped those together. Do you want to split
those
out?
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah. Did you have anything for either?
Okay.
Does anybody have any public comment for any items that aren't on the agenda? Okay. Then let's roll right into it. First up, we have a request by Susan Kelty of 625 William Street to install a two-hour time limit parking zone on the east and west sides of the 600 block of William Street. So, Ms. Kelty, if you would care to speak on that.
Okay. Well, first, thank you for taking our request or listening to our request. For the last couple of years, I think it's, I would say the parking on William, on the 600 block of William, has been an annoyance, right? You know, you have cars and you have trouble getting out of your driveway, and once the big trucks come up, it's more difficult. But over the last 9 months to a year, it's turned from an annoyance to an issue. We have cars on both sides, are parking on both sides of the street, and really, particularly on the south end, and the best part of the south end of the 600 block, which is Quick and William, is thank goodness there is a four-way stop there. Because if there was not a four-way stop there, that would be an issue, a huge issue, because you can't see, right, if you're trying to turn, and if you're coming down, and it literally becomes a one-way street on a two, a one-way for a two-way street, which either you have to anticipate who's coming from like a block away, or somebody has to back up. And on the east side of the street, there are driveways, and on the west side, there aren't driveways because they have an alley. Which you would think would be okay, except that when you don't have driveways, right, cars can park back to back all the way along the west side of the street. And so if you're trying to get out of a driveway on the other side, it becomes impossible. So we are requesting a two-hour parking limit for both sides of the street on the 600 block of William.
Next up, we have Devin Howe.
Yeah. Do I have to go there? Can I just stand here?
If you could, to the microphone so we can get you on tape, please.
Is that what it is?
Hi, I'm Devin. So I live at 613 William, and I just want to back what Susan is saying in that over the past probably about a year, I would say, it's progressively getting worse. And so really what's happening is we're getting individuals parking on our street that don't reside on our street. So essentially they're parking from 6 a.m., some of them, all the way to about 7 p.m. And so they're blocking the street from traffic. They're blocking the street from visitors, from workers, from if you want to have something done on your home, there really is limited space for them to park. So they have to find parking someplace else. So the street is congested all day long. When I say all day long, I literally mean some of them are parking at 6 a.m. when I'm walking my dog in the morning to when I go and walk my dog at night, and there's still X amount of cars parked on the street that are blocking it. And just to back up what Susan said too as well, as far as traffic flow, if you're coming off of Quick onto William, there's bound to be an accident sometime soon, whether it's going to be with another vehicle, or I particularly am concerned because I have two small children. So if they're riding their bike or they're walking to school, they're walking to their friend's house, there is no visual for them. They literally already have to go out, step out into the street to see if another car is coming or if there's a car coming by. there's really no way where they could see an 8 or a 5-year-old. It's very difficult. And so I just wanted to make sure that I came here today just to make sure that I was backing up what some of my neighbors are saying. So thank you very much.
Could you just for
sure.
clarity, what causes people to park?
They're walking to the train. They're going
to
work
train.
In the city. So I call them day trippers is what I call them. So literally they're parking for the day because they don't want to pay for parking. There's no a time limit on our street. So at certain days of the week, we have up to 13 vehicles on our car, on our street, and it's not a resident's vehicle as far as our block goes. It would be different if it was somebody who lived on our street. But when you have people coming from the north end of River Forest, or if you have people coming from, you know, another village or town just to avoid paying for parking. In the beginning, it was like, oh, okay. But now it's becoming they're talking to their friends. They're, you know, oh, hey, park on the 600 block of William. And really, when I had addressed it probably about a year or two ago, I had talked to somebody, and I think it was in Public Works, and their response was kind of like, eh, it's going to be difficult to get anything passed. They're just going to park on another street. And so be it. But, you know, when it comes to 600 block, it's getting worse. It really is.
In the interest of a really nice evening out there,
mm-hmm.
is everybody here for the six? It's you guys.
Yeah, it's just us over here.
Okay, you guys are residents
yeah.
of that area.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the map, the
yeah.
parking map,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, we really don't care what a non-resident has to say about parking in our village. Is anybody here against a 2-hour restriction?
Mm-hmm. No. No.
And how many more signatures do you have?
14 houses on our block. So I think there was literally like one or two houses that didn't sign, and it was for lack of being able to reach them. And he's here.
Okay. I just wanted to get that in the record because
oh, sure. yeah.
it is such a beautiful night, and we know if you guys are all together, you're pretty much going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
And if we want to push this forward, we probably can't. But I don't know. Robert's rules may dictate that you guys have to say something, but I'll leave that up to the person running the meeting.
You don't have to if you don't want to, but you're all more than welcome to if you wish to.
I'm tough. Yeah.
Hold on. We have a commissioner.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'd like to follow up John's question. When I look at the overhead map here, William Street in that one block really stands out. It has no blue border on it. I wonder how it escaped the whatever previous action had been taken, whenever that was done, to install 2-hour parking everywhere else.
I mean, this is similar to the Metro stop or the Metro station down by Thatcher, though. I mean, it always starts in that immediate vicinity and kind of spirals out from there. And at the time that these restrictions went in, that was just where it ended. You know, nothing north or west of there has restrictions either. So this is just kind of on the border of what was
right.
restricted and
yeah,
what wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, because
even Jackson and Monroe have it,
mm-hmm.
but we just don't.
And then Jackson, you start to get closer to Roosevelt at that point, too. So, yeah,
right.
there are
yeah.
a lot of different things at play. But, yeah, certainly this is kind of on that border of what was restricted and what
mm-hmm.
wasn't, obviously. But this is the next street that, again, to your point, I don't know who you spoke to, but we're just going to keep chasing this potentially, and that's fine.
Yes.
But right now, William is the street where everybody seems to be finding a park.
And how many residents would you say, I guess we're in our area now, but how many, did it say how many were residents? It did, didn't it?
Yeah. There
so
was
on the report, it said residents parking there is between 2 and 4, let's say, so let's call it an average of 3 cars a day
mm-hmm.
that are residents of River Forest.
Of River Forest.
Of River Forest, and then the rest are non-residents.
Mm.
So we would be affecting our town folk of 3 cars a day if we were to follow through. And we don't have any residents, but non-block residents here to talk about this. Okay, well I'm clear. It's clear in my mind.
But again, their point which I understand is, and my neighbor being one of them, I'm up on Keystone. He parks down there.
Oh, that's it.
I
get it on record. Who's his neighbor?
I told him he's going to fight it to come down and face you guys tonight. And
stop
he did
it.
Not.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Okay.
So the bottom line is that I sometimes confront them because today there was 15 cars by 7:45 on the block. And then when it gets that crowded, then they overlap the driveway occasionally. So we both drive SUVs. And if there's somebody parked behind the driveway with somebody encroaching on the driveway, it becomes a problem. So I was out there the other day cutting grass, and the individual came back from work or wherever he was. And I just said, you know, you're kind of overlapping on the driveway. And he says, well, I'm a resident of River Forest. And he says, I pay taxes probably more than you do. He said, you can drive across your grass to get around here.
Oh, my God.
Okay, that wouldn't have been my neighbor. Trust me, he's a nice guy.
But the point was that...
No, I know. They could be rude even.
The argument, which I don't know where it stands legally, but the argument is that they're paying more taxes. They're part of the village. From his standpoint, he owns up to my public sidewalk in this village property. So maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But the point is, as I told him, you're not on my block. You don't pay taxes right here. You know, we've been there since 83, and this is the worst.
Oh, no, I totally understand it. Because I told him, I said, rotate around. Don't keep on parking in the same spot.
Yeah. That's actually
but he
advice.
Has a scooter, and the next thing on the agenda will get him away from your house.
There you
he can park,
3 months,
scooter down.
3 months a year. 3 months a year. Yeah.
So
does anybody want to say anything? Because I kind of know which direction we're leaning here.
I think the only other thing and is kind of pertinent.
Take your 15 minutes of fame. Get up there and do it.
I'll take 2 minutes.
All right, there you go.
My name is Joe Ferrucci. I live at 605 William. As of Betty Jordan, who lived across the street in one house over, passing away, I am the grandfather of the block now.
Nice.
My wife and I were 2 years out of the U of I and bought this house in 1973. So that's how old I am, and we've been there all those years. So I'm older. I've been in my house longer than the age of everyone else in this room. But
thank you very much.
Not so.
Two comments to make. You have the map, and I did print out the agenda, and the map shows what our problem is. We are the closest unrestricted street to the people who commute downtown, or are there. My sense is that the majority of them are commuters who are the people parking on the street. Just the way they look, that they're getting a satchel or something that they're carrying to go to an office job. If we do this, and I hope you will, I have one thought to make. A year from now, the 700 block of William or the 600 block of Monroe will be here asking for the exact same request. It's going to happen. People are not going to spend $8 or $9 a day to park. And I don't know if I would do that, but that's a fact. That's why they're doing it. I look at the people, and they're just choosing not to park in any of the paid spaces in Oak Park. It has become a real issue, and John and I have all of the horror stories to tell. I'm backing out of my driveway, and the worst case is the cars are always lined up on the west side. I'm dead, and I know Devin is in the same situation. When they park on both sides of our driveway, it takes 3 to 4 moves to be able to back the car out and get there. And the one that was the most bizarre situation was, out of the corner of my eye, I saw a car 3 houses south of Quick, where there's a stop sign, obviously a jewel shopper, and that's the way I characterize them, rushing home. I started to back out into the street, and this woman rolled through the stop and laid on the horn that I had the audacity to back out into the street. I'm not concerned about myself. If I get hit, that's one thing. If my wife gets hit backing out of the car, backing the car out, then I have a real issue, and we just need help. That's all. Mm-hmm. And there will be residents. I see River Forest cars. I've stopped being the guy looking out the window, but there clearly are River Forest cars parking. It's fewer than the out-of-town people parking, and it's just, John was saying 15, the worst was several weeks ago. At some point in the day, we had 17 cars parked on our block. We only have 17 houses on our street, so that's really, it's offensive. It's really become offensive.
You've raised a question, and that you've touched on an issue that I was going to question. To what extent is your problem an anomaly? It seems like from your comments that this is precedent-setting potentially, that it can happen in parallel streets where this is not the case yet. Is that correct?
We had the perfect storm. How many? It was Kraft came in and they took the house on the southwest corner of the street. We were all alerted that it was going to happen, and what they did is they parked all of the production vehicles on the 500 block of William on the west side. They asked for the crews to be able to park on our street, and I looked at the cars that I expected to be driving up and parking. Well, the crews were on site before 6 o'clock in the morning, so all of the spaces were taking, and the cars were coming along, and sure enough, they turned the corner and turned the corner again, and they parked on the 600 block of William on that particular day. 2 days they were filming, but it will happen. People are going to look for the place where they don't have to pay, and it will be 700 William or 600 Monroe.
It's just going to become a longer walk.
That's all it is.
And again, we're I'm concerned with our residents looking for a free place to park. That's fine.
Okay, so they're going to walk another half a block.
So we're displacing three cars, and if it goes to Monroe or if it goes north on William, so be it. Our purview tonight, per the item list, is 600 block of William. And when you guys are done with public commentary, we'll have some conversation here, but we're going to make a motion to approve what you want, and we're going to vote on that, and then we're going to move on to scooter parking or something
okay.
like that. But we are told what to do. We make it advisory suggestions, and then it goes to the Board of Trustees, and then they make it real. Or is this within our purview?
Yes. I mean, technically, it has to go to the board because it's in the ordinance. But I mean, I don't know that I don't recall a time where you guys approved a parking restriction that the board did not.
Yeah. I mean, this is a no-brainer. You have a good lobby here, and we appreciate that. But this evolves. I've been doing this for 14 or 15 years now, and River Forest evolves, parking restrictions evolve, even with the Green Deal, there's more people driving. I don't see that going away anytime soon. So, you guys are the closest to right now. We have the same thing over here for the metro station, and this is what we do. We're evolving, and right now, the way I see it is your block is being severely inconvenienced by 70% non-residents and 30%, if we call it 10 cars, 30% residents of River Forest who have standing. But with that being said,
let's make a motion.
Yeah, I mean, unless somebody else.
Any other discussion?
Any other discussion?
Any other public comment?
Can I ask just one question?
the stop signs at Wick and William were put in recently, last year or something. Question is, the corner parking to corner sign's been there since at least 83, maybe 67. And it allows for a car to park between Joe's driveway and the corner of Quick. So if right now, if you go there, in fact, tomorrow morning, if you go there, there'll be a car parked right there. Honda CRV, I believe. So anyway, but if somebody comes up to the, in the perfect world, somebody comes up to the stop sign at the same time, they're side by side, and they're in the traffic moving northbound from the stop sign, or moving either east or west from the stop sign to go north, has to wait for the stop sign on the southbound car to clear. So is there any possibility that, or is this a different meeting, that corner, no parking in the corner could be moved up closer to Joe's driveway?
Is that sign on William?
Yeah.
Yes.
On the east side of the street?
Then the,
just to avoid, so...
So it's a northbound stop sign.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the map here.
So it's...
No,
it's a stop.
So,
well,
so as you're going north, it's for northbound traffic.
Yeah, so if you're going northbound and you cross Quick, going northbound at the stop sign, there's always a black CRV, I believe, parked there. Now, obviously, maybe it won't be after you pass your motion, but if there's a car parked there, and there's a car going southbound,
which makes the corner very congested.
There's multiple cars.
So is Joe's house the first house on William?
It's the second house.
But the other house faces Quick.
But the two-hour restriction would prevent that.
I think so too.
It basically, think of it from sidewalk to sidewalk,
right,
north to south.
Yeah.
So the entire block.
So if you're on the north side of the stop sign going this way, then you could wait a long time.
Sure.
Do you think this will relieve it?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, that two-hour park. I mean, I don't know how long that person parks there. If they're there for 2 hours, maybe not. But if that's the case, then yes, this 2-hour restriction would be in place there. And if it gets to a point where, for whatever reason, something continues to occur there, and you want to extend a no parking zone in that area, technically, right now, if it gets 60 feet from a crosswalk, you're not allowed to park within 60 feet of a crosswalk.
This car goes up to the edge of the crosswalk.
Yeah.
Which
parked.
It shouldn't do. So if that's the case, it should continue to be the case. But if something occurs, by all means, call the police non-emergency number, and they can come out and give them a citation or a warning. But if we want to get into expanded no parking zones, yes, it would be another meeting where we'd have to notice the neighbors and that. But
since we're covering the topic.
Sure.
Can I ask one question? The restriction is self-policed, right?
No, I mean, everybody can get tickets.
But
so,
is it self-policed or is it?
No, like, I mean, it that's something. So we have LPRs now, license plate readers on, I think, two of our police department vehicles, where you kind of set up the zones within the computer, and as they drive through there, it's pinging license plates at 15 miles an hour or whatever, and as they circle through the areas, it kind of dings and lets them know that this person's been there for 6 hours or whatever the case may be.
And of course, the first week that the signs go up, we'll have a car parked there to collect some revenue. let's not forget that.
I just want to make sure none of the people in this room are going to get tickets.
If you're parked out there for more than 2 hours,
yeah,
you will.
Yeah.
And that is, and in all fairness, that is one of the unintended consequences a lot of times with these, whether it's resident only or 2 hour, it applies to everybody. So keep that in the back of your minds as well.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? No.
Well, with that being said, and having a discussion, I would make a motion to implement the two-hour parking restriction on both sides of the 600 block of William Street.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Well, thank you all.
Go catch the sun's almost down. Get out there.
For what it's worth, this does still have to go to the board, like we discussed earlier. I think the next board meeting is the Tuesday, what is it, the 29th, 28th or 29th after Memorial Day.
I should be able to have this all papered up by then, but that's when they would give the final blessing or change course. So.
Okay, terrific.
All right.
Thanks for coming
in.
Thank you very much. Sorry, we took so long.
Okay.
All right, next up we have a request by Commissioner Gillis to install dedicated motorcycle / scooter parking in proximity to the CTA and Metro station at Harlem Avenue and Central Avenue. Commissioner Gillis.
Yes. Okay, so you got two spots here on Central Avenue, two areas. I went down and measured. We got 37 feet between these two spots. It's at the T for both Bonnie Bray and what's the other one?
Clinton Place.
Clinton Place. This will eliminate at least one of the people that park in front of William right now because he has a scooter too,
mm-hmm.
but no place to park it.
So are you saying take a dedicated parking area and take some?
No, it's no. There's no parking now. So when you get to the T,
mm-hmm.
there's a big wide open space between the last spot and the first spot.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is,
well, why do you think there is that then? Why do you think there's nothing
street,
there?
I think initially it was just to maintain some openness at the intersection. You don't want it too congested,
okay.
So that's why we didn't have vehicles there in the past.
Is there an ordinance in town prohibiting anything from being there in the future?
Not that I'm aware of, and technically, if there was a no parking zone, if you all and then the board voted in favor of putting motorcycle and scooter parking there, we would just, that old ordinance gets removed and this one would take precedence.
Nice. Oh, I see it. Here it is.
So yeah, there's just
so
kind of
do
a gap
do,
in the parking.
Do you just, do you put lines in there for
well, you'd
parking?
Have, you'd have to line, so you make the spots approximately 4 feet wide.
Okay.
Because motorcycles or scooters back into a spot.
Mm-hmm.
We can
mm-hmm.
get, whatever I said, 8 spots in there with a little buffer so the cars don't hit the last motorcycle. And then to make sure we don't get non-residents to use these, you know, we're all required just, you know, we have stickers on our motorcycles, these
yeah.
little tabs,
mm-hmm.
just like we all have River 4 stickers, so we would make it resident parking only.
Sure.
And
that,
that way,
sense.
It's just for the residents, it's just for motorcycles and scooters. And it gives everyone that goes to the green line an opportunity to park down there, because right now there's
yeah.
no parking there.
Right, right.
Right, we
yeah.
have to park on William if we...
Exactly. Yeah. No,
that's
I like,
the closest spot.
I like that idea because I commuted for 16 years past that spot, and I often thought, what wasted space is this? And
yes.
I'm pleased that this is a good solution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say of the two locations, staff discussed this a little bit. And I think, Rick, I think we even did on the phone a little bit, the Bonnie Bray intersection during rush hours does get pretty congested.
Okay.
So as far as staff is concerned, we would probably be more in favor of the Clinton Place option, just because I know it's a little bit further walk, but it's a little more further removed from the congestion
okay.
as well.
That is perfectly fine.
Yeah. I would
yeah.
I would make a motion to utilize the space on Clinton Place
yep.
For resident only
right.
scooter and motorcycle parking per the agenda.
Yeah,
I'd really like to commend Commissioner Gillis on this outstanding staff work here. Well
yeah.
designed package.
Yeah.
I had a little bit of help here, but I still have to write the words.
And I'm compelled to second your motion.
Yeah, well, I already seconded your motion.
Oh, you
so, yeah.
I'll write your
right.
motion.
I was talking.
No, before.
all in favor.
Aye.
All opposed.
Aye.
Okay.
Okay.
So that
carries
wraps
you
that up.
Okay.
And next and last, we have a request by Commissioner Bass to discuss the Metro expansion project as it relates to fatalities, foot traffic, noise abatement, and vagrant activity during the summer months. Commissioner Bass.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to defer before I present this to our two residents who want to make public comment. So, Jessica, you came first? Yeah.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jessica Harmon, and I live in 8117 Lake Street. So it's the townhome development that starts at Edgebrook and Lake. And I've been a resident for almost exactly a year now. We closed And at that time, my husband and I understood that we'd be living by a train, and we thought we kind of understood what that meant. But basically, 2 weeks after we moved in, or something like after we closed, the project began, this Metro Expansion or Union Pacific project. So all of a sudden, all the trees, the mature trees that were behind us were cut down. You had this access path set up, and basically the whole, everything kind of changed. And we've been dealing with those consequences for the past year. The two I want to bring up tonight, and that I'm seeking the help of the village to work with Union Pacific to try to address. One is around the noise abatement, and just there's just more noise that has come from the actions that have been taken with cutting down the trees and all the construction work that's been going on. So if there was something to help with that, that would be great and benefit the residents quite a bit on our side, and there's quite a few in our development. The other consequence or kind of outcome of all this work that really doesn't just impact the people in this development, but even broader, is the fact that you have this access path and that people can very easily get onto the train tracks. I've seen this with children, teenagers, and I've also seen it with grown adults up there. And so it's just something where, as far as I can tell, it's been a while since I've actually seen Union Pacific working on the tracks in that general area. So it just seems like that needs to be closed up because that's a safety concern. That's a reputational risk for the village as well as the train company. So I just wanted to bring that to the attention of the meeting tonight and just ask for your help in working with the residents, working with the village to try to address some of these concerns that residents have with the Union Pacific expansion and Metro expansion project. So thank you. And I'll give a hand over to me.
I'm Megan Cascatello. I live at 8125 Lake, and I'm Jessica's neighbor. I have here the fact sheet for the Union Pacific Westline Third Mainline Track project, so you can all take a look at what their project really is. So I'll hand that out.
You have multiple copies?
Yeah, there's
a. Oh, beautiful. Excellent.
Great.
And so this is a $100 million project to expand from Chicago through Geneva the tracks to three tracks. Right now there are two places you'll see along there. One is in River Forest, where there are two tracks instead of three. So they're moving that to three tracks, which is fine. They say they are doing it to reduce idling and move traffic faster for freight, but they have no intention of increasing capacity, which, you know, $100 million is a lot of money to spend if you're not intending to make any money. So I think that what we will see is increased train traffic, which leads River Forest into a safety issue. I've been working with Eric Palm as a neighborhood liaison for the last year since we started, really noticing the impacts of this project. And what I know is we don't have a real specific disaster plan in River Forest. We have a general disaster plan that we work with the local community on, but we don't have anything specific regarding to rail, which is an issue because what we have is a highly populated, low access area right around the tracks on both sides along River Forest. That's where many of the apartment buildings are. That's where many of the townhomes are. So we've got a lot of people who live in the village who are impacted by the fact that we don't have a disaster plan specific to rail. Additionally, area-specific things that my development is concerned about. We would like barriers, noise barriers, or barriers preventing access to our area, and the removal of the access road that they created on an easement at the end of their project. That access road, we just watch people walk up and down. And you can hear, I've learned the difference living next to the train in the honking because workers are working on the bridge, which is where they are right now. They've been working on the bridge for a while. And honking because there's a dog. And honking because there are people on the railroad tracks and the train can't stop. It takes a mile to stop a train. So you know, you're asking train drivers to kind of face the potential of hitting someone. But this has been, you know, this has been a difficult to police, difficult to access area for law enforcement. I know you all know about the accident that happened at the end of Thatcher Avenue, where the car went through two garages. Well, where did that suspect go?
Two cars.
You know, two garages.
Yeah.
Two cars. Yeah. That suspect went right up onto the tracks. My neighbors have heard shots fired. I've spoken with Chief Shea, and we have worked together to make the neighborhood as safe as we can, and the village has been wonderful, but we still have the problem. The problem has not gone away. It's just not a safe access point. So we would ask that your board support or initiate conversation with the village and with Eric Varela at Union Pacific. He's the Union Pacific rep that we have available to us, and communicate back to our neighborhood group or include us in that conversation, and reestablish good neighbor relationships with the railroad. Because right now what we have is kind of a lot of silence. We haven't really heard from them in about 6 months. So I know that the support of your board and the village board, along with Kathy Aducci and Eric Palm, who have been completely supportive of these measures that we're asking, would go a long way. We'd appreciate that. So thank you.
Thank you.
Did you have questions for them?
Was Eric, did Eric Palm tell you to address the Traffic and Safety Commission regarding this?
No, I'm the one who brought it up, because clearly there are issues related to traffic and safety, rail traffic and foot traffic, and I think this is our purview, that we have to be supportive of this serious issue.
And he's done a good job. I have no problem with how he has been.
No. I'm just wondering how this got here. We've had issues before regarding the railroad, and that, as you know, it sounds like they're hard to. Well, these easements that railroads have are and have been in existence for a very long time. And there's really, in my experience, because I've only dealt with this a few times, there's not much we can do. But I like your idea, because I live literally right there. So the tracks are running through, half a block from my house are the tracks, and I actually take my dog down this side where it's forest, and then there's the trail, and I'm sure my kids run up there too. I know that for a fact, but it's a good place to bike. But from your perspective, from your side, the north side of the tracks, you live very close to the actual trains that are going by, and I don't know what Union Pacific is planning on doing. I don't know what the village of River Forest can do legally next to the easement, because you're private property. So is it you, I'm speaking as an attorney, is it you that has to erect a barrier behind your building on your property? Is it legal to do next to an easement? Can you legally close off an easement to the tracks?
It would be on Union Pacific property.
Good luck with that.
Let me support this. There are a few facts we need to keep in mind, and they're very easy to memorize. The first thing you already mentioned, it's a $100 million project of taxpayer money. It's federal money. It's our taxes. So we can lay claim to that. Point number one. Point number two, this track is one of the busiest commercial thoroughfares in the nation. Here are the statistics. 50 freight trains go across here every day. 50. 60 metro trains go up and down through the village every day. And we have 30,000 passengers every day. Fact number two that I want you to remember is this. On the whole stretch from Geneva all the way into the city, the closest proximity to family dwellings is in River Forest. This is a matter of 25 feet before you get into the garages and the property lines. So this is a major, major concern for a village that really need to be informed. Another fact, Geneva already at the beginning of this phase 4, at the beginning of this, in 2014, Union Pacific had a public meeting with the residents of Geneva, Illinois, to discuss this whole issue. We have a stronger tax base, and they have still to make a public presentation to the citizens of this village. For us, this is unapologetically wrong. The people who live in Geneva do not have 25 feet property lines to their tracks. So I want as much pressure, both on our goodwill of our board of trustees, but I also want to put as much pressure on Union Pacific for them to recognize that we recognize that our tax dollars enable us, entitle us to get accountability from them, especially since a lot of the 50 freight trains going through here carry highly flammable materials. We would have a hazard situation if anything went wrong. Your point about an emergency plan for a safety plan for the tracks is pertinent. What if something happens on the tracks and we happen to have a hazmat situation? So these are the issues that they need to come and speak to us about. The other thing is also this, that already we recognize that the barriers, flimsy as they were, these were chain link fences and trees that were there, were taken down, giving ready access to vagrants and people who were hit by a truck of the Union Pacific when they came up the bluff and they saw that there were two homeless people in a tent. You know, these, and behind my home at 8141 Lake, I had my students on a Sunday afternoon when a young man was killed on the tracks. So the fact of the matter is that we've had fatalities. We report gunshot situations. We hear of youngsters who want to go and smoke pot and do whatever they want to up on the tracks. The fact of the matter is that this is an accident waiting to happen. And so many touch points for unsafe opportunities are in this unstable situation. And when now that the weather's getting better, we will have increased foot traffic, increased whatever people want to do up there, especially youngsters who are unsupervised and so on. And then in the end, we have just sat back and folded our arms. And that's why I have a motion with 3 points here, if you don't mind, take a look at this. It encapsulates at least the three points that are most, I would like for you to have this. But I'll make the motion as soon as you have one in your hand. I want this motion regarding the Union Pacific West 3rd Main Line Eastern Section Construction Project. We, the Traffic and Safety Commission of Village of River Forest, request that the Village Board act upon the following matters with regard to Union Pacific 3rd Main Line Eastern Section Construction Project. First, commitment from the Board for a safety barrier, or that the Board gets commitment from Union Pacific for a safety barrier that will simultaneously attenuate noise and ground vibrations between Lake Street West homes and the railway. Number two, the access road constructed on the easement adjacent to Edgewood Drive be removed at the completion of the project. This was a temporary access road that was filled in there and created, that was not there before. Point number three, put in place a rail disaster plan. If no plan exists, that the village creates a disaster plan drafted with community input.
With all that being said, is there
a village liaison that works with Union Pacific?
No, I mean, yeah, I know Eric's been talking to them a little bit about this particular item, but we don't have any staff like designated as that per se.
Okay, so
I mean, I'm in agreement as far as I'm shocked we don't have a disaster plan. I really am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know there's stuff that's carried on there, even though you're not supposed to go through Oak Park with radioactive weapons or something, right? If I remember correctly, don't they have a yes, there is
yeah,
something on their rule book that says you can't take radioactive weapons through Oak Park. This is coming
well,
way
it,
back.
It sounds mind. Like we need someone to spearhead this. And,
yeah.
And since Johan brought it to us, I think we should nominate him to spearhead this thing and be the liaison between you, the resident, since you live over there, Eric Palm, who's our village
administrator.
Well, he does it all, as far as I'm concerned. And then, you know, I think that's what's needed.
Yeah.
I mean, is that something that you want to take
on?
I
would gladly do that because I think this just needs pressure. I mean, for one thing, we need to get, for high priority, an open forum from with representatives of Union Pacific.
I would love to sit and hear from an actual
right
living person that works for the
railroad.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I would too, because there should be a sound barrier.
Totally.
And that would do two things. You get a sound barrier, because once you get to Oak Park, it's above line anyway.
Yeah.
Then you got the bridge, you know, at Des Plaines River, but between there and Oak Park, you know, I think a sound barrier would be appreciated by a lot of residents. Both sides, north and south.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, the forest as much of the opposite side.
I have a feeling there's something in the easement that would probably not allow for a solid barrier, which is probably part of a disaster plan.
No.
Understood. It would, you know, setting precedent can be very, very expensive. So, with that being said, there's a lot here. Your motion makes sense. Your worries make sense. And again, I live right over there. I'm just on the other side of the tracks. And if some pressure from a commissioner or, say, the village of River Forest can get Mr. Varela here to explain what's going to happen, how they're going to clean up, how they're going to close down their easements, their access easements that they created during construction.
Right.
Boy, I would love to hear it, and I would be at the meeting to go over this. But again, I don't think we have much on a leg to stand on to tell them to do anything. I just don't think we legally have that power, but I'd love to hear the conversation.
But, you know, we'll have the press at that meeting, and we'll have public awareness of this. And if needs be, we'll have the TVs here, stationed here, too. It's all about pressure. And we, as taxpayers, have every right to insist on a modicum of safety.
Agreed.
That's it. And if they have no good answer for it, then it's not just them, it's the rest of the community who sees their weak answer to that.
Well, the average resident of this village never gives this any thought, including myself. I just don't think about it. You know, I ride the train periodically to go downtown,
okay,
but I hear their horns tooting, you know, in the middle of the night occasionally.
Right. Yeah.
And I live up further up the way, not near the tracks, so I can only imagine what it sounds like.
It's regularly at 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
It puts me to sleep. I'm used to it.
If the train horn can sound frantic, it does. Whoever's on the tracks to move. You can just hear it, and it's an accident waiting
to happen.
When
you put it back down. Well, with that being
said, so would
said,
you want to add an addendum to the motion by adding a liaison or point person or whatever?
I was going to say and make a motion to you know, invite Commissioner Buis to be the liaison to possibly implement in the future the well-thought-out arguments. How better can I put this, Rick?
Let's accept this motion is
well,
not
I don't know
been
if,
seconded.
I don't know if we can
make seconded.
I mean, these are good ideas.
This motion has not been seconded, so technically we shouldn't have discussed it.
Well, no, no, you
seconded.
Read the motion.
Yeah.
Nobody made the motion officially, I don't think.
Well,
I don't, Jeff, I'm not sure.
The fact of the matter is the motion comes from me.
Commitment.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys want to amend it, we can just do it that way if you're looking to tack onto it. Or am I getting the sense that you kind of want to take this and just boil it down into a
well,
motion
I just think
create a liaison?
A commitment for a safety barrier, I think it needs to be amended to say, you know, you look into the possibility of a safety barrier that will attenuate noise. You know,
That's fine.
We don't...
We can modify.
The access road construction on the easement adjacent be removed at the completion of the process. I think that's closer to
it
doable.
Wasn't, yeah, it wasn't.
And then
there
a
before.
Disaster plan, by all means, we should start looking into.
But to your point, these are all requests, right? Whether we're all agreeing upon them or not, they're all just requests. So we can make motions and second and approve them and do all that we want. But
or do we just
us voting to you guys voting to say we want the access road removed doesn't do anything really at the end of the
exactly.
day.
Exactly. So no, but
I
we
get
want,
what you're saying.
We
or do
want
we or do we not do this and just make a motion to create a liaison in our commission of Commissioner Buis to work with the village and hopefully Union Pacific to implement in the future some safety disaster plan and noise reducing barriers as well as eliminating or I guess eliminating the access roads put in during construction.
But at that point, do you even limit it to these items here?
No.
Because maybe something else comes up. So do you just step back and go, let's make the position, but not the position, but do we try to recommend the creation of some sort of community liaison amongst this and just leave it open-ended to address specific resident concerns throughout the process?
That,
and maybe it's just we keep it nice and vague in general?
No, listen, wait. This is a year down the road already. In this very room, we had a large number of the community affected by this year. We had a meeting with Eric Palm. Megan and two other, Melanie and Eve, are our liaison people with the village. Mm-hmm. So this has already gotten some kind of discussion with the village. Stalled, and we've not had for 6 months. So I'm adding pressure to the village by telling Aducci and others and Eric Palm that, listen, from the Traffic and Safety Committee comes this prodding that we want at least some direction and action. So if you want to amend the motion to add to the fact that in my capacity as a commissioner, that I be representing the Traffic and Safety Commission in these discussions and be the point person, I'd be glad to do that. But I don't want anything vague because we've already had a year of non-committal in this thing. And I think the very least, the first point of action is an open forum.
Well, then, because I think words like commitment...
Yeah, we can say
that
investigate
stuff,
the commitment or
investigate
the possibility,
the possibilities of
yeah.
sound and safety barriers, the elimination of access roads constructed on easements, and the necessary implementation of a near future disaster plan.
do you feel the...
Here, I think I got something. Give me one second.
You got something?
Yeah, no, you keep right while you, I talk, I guess. Yeah. Do you feel the need? I mean, are you... I know conversations have stalled, as you've stated. Do you feel the need to modify your relationship, for lack of a better term, with the village in terms of being a community liaison? Or are you... Do you feel the need to have Commissioner Bass involved in that? Or do you feel like if this goes forward with the request and we can get the conversations going again, are you happy with kind of how that process has gone up until this recent stall?
Oh, yeah. I mean, okay. The village has been supportive of the efforts, I think. I think it's difficult to ask a federal agency to do anything, like you've been pointing out. But we do need to keep trying because this if things are...
Wait, federal? Happen, federal agency?
Well, the railroad.
But they're,
oh,
but they're, has anyone from the railroads come into this to
Adrian
meet with you guys?
Adrian Ferrero has.
Who did?
Adrian Ferrero, who was the former liaison.
Oh, okay.
But then he left, and we have not had response from his replacement. And no, they don't have to do anything. They can do something based on being a good neighbor. They apparently have funds set up that could potentially be used for things like this. My main
no, I think these are very pertinent, you know, arguments, and I'm glad you're here.
Yeah,
I am just, you know, understand the bureaucracy of the village versus the railroad, which the village knows that.
Railroad is, they kind of operate like a federal agency. They get to do what they want within their own property without having to abide by really any of our rules and regulations within our ordinance. So it is, and you've stated it, I mean, it's really tricky to try to get them to comply, especially when you get into precedent-setting things. It's just an uphill battle, and I know I've had multiple conversations with Eric. I mean, it's not lost on us as staff. It's just an uphill battle.
But you see, this is my principle. Principle number one, there's urgency to this issue. Principle number two, there's something concrete that is sensible. We can modify, massage the language as we want to. I'm perfectly fine with that. But my main principle is the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And I will not stop for the sake of safety and for the sake of the beauty of this village. I've lived in this village for 22 years. I'm not going to give up on a bureaucracy that's going to say no to me. I'm going to go every time.
Well, let me tell you a story. Okay, when I lived in New York, we lived next to a railroad track. Like from here to the street.
Yeah. Oh,
no,
yeah.
Actually closer than that, from here to the end of the building there.
Mm.
And they were extending the platform. And our apartment was on the ground level. And we were very upset about this platform getting extended out. So it was Metro North in New York.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's, you know, the same thing. What we ended up doing is we met with the mayor of our town,
mm.
and we met with a representative from Metro North, and we presented them an idea.
Mm.
And what we wanted was trees. I talked to a friend of mine who was an trees.
Oh, trees.
Trees. He was a landscape architect.
Yeah.
And he came up with this design and said, you need this type of evergreen, and you plant them like this, and they're good, and a whole bit like that. And the bottom line is Metro North paid for all these damn trees. And
see, they took down 17 trees.
I know, but the thing is, the solution was we sat down with them, and we said, we have a problem here. And here is how I think it can be fixed. And they paid for all those trees to to put them in there, and there were a lot of trees, and it really, you know, when I sold the place 10 years later, looked like a forest in the back. But, you know, I think that's the solution, is
exactly.
to get Eric and Kathy and whoever, you know, this Eric
Varela.
Varela, if he's the right person, you get him in a room, but you guys have a solution.
Yeah.
Don't give
yeah.
him problems, give him solutions.
No. Oh, totally.
You know.
We've done this already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you got to do it now with the new guy.
Yeah, we have to do it with the new guy.
New guy, and you have to get a commitment.
Yeah.
And you know, as far as the, you know, the action plan, that's on us. The village has got to get something in place as far as a disaster plan.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if one of those
yeah.
cars falls over and
yeah.
rolls in 25 feet full of kerosene or whatever.
Mm. Oh, don't even say it.
No, but, yeah, you, no, but you're right. I mean, that's...
Doomsday.
But
yeah.
but that's
fine.
Yeah.
But that's the reality. So I think what we have to do is get everyone together in a room, and you know what? I'll join you guys. I have no problem sitting there, as you will, and
yeah.
I'm sure everyone else.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
I'll be there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because you know, I think that they have to take care of, even though they can keep their you know their rocks have to be neat and tidy.
Mm.
They can kind of help.
Yeah.
Us keep
yeah.
our side neat and tight.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah, and I like your illustration because it proves the point that there can be solutions.
Right,
to these
issues. And you know what? In Metro in New York, like I said, they paid for it.
Yeah,
was it a precedent?
Was it a precedent? Yeah,
I don't know if it was or not. But the bottom line is,
it got done.
You know, the mayor we had was the Kathy Aducci. You know, same personality, get things done. And she sweet talked him right then and there. We had the meeting in our living room, and of course we cracked open the windows so you could hear all the noise. But made sure it was during rush hour, so you know 8 o'clock in the morning, so they could hear every train that came by. But I think it
yeah.
can be done.
Yeah. Well, good. So my motion dies. What
Did you have
what plan
something
of action?
Else or
well, the only thing I you right. know I was just kind of playing with it. If we were to you know, appoint you as a liaison. I just said.
But your question was still pertinent. She might. I mean, I might not need to be on it, since you already are.
Well, I mean, the bottom line is there is at least an open line of communication with you and Eric. So I don't want to change that per se.
Right.
If Commissioner Bace or any one of the rest of you wants to participate in that process more, I guess. And be cognizant of that, so she would appreciate the help. But I don't know that we need to formalize any of that per
yeah.
se. We've all heard the same conversation.
That's fine with me. As long as
that's what you like. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you, you know, I can give you my email address and you can send me stuff. And,
yep, I have stuff.
Okay, you have it? Okay.
What I don't want to do is create almost too many points of contact, because then who is the village
mm-hmm.
communicating with, who is the railroad communicating
yeah.
with, if anybody, and it much
well, no,
no, water,
I agree.
So.
I'm just here to support you guys,
sure.
but you still should be talking to Eric as your primary contact, and the other Eric.
I will reach out to the Eric on
yeah.
our side tomorrow.
But if you
yeah.
have a meeting like you had last
yeah.
time, and I'll come join your meeting. Because, it, you know, you're right. It is, it's traffic and it's safety.
Absolutely.
It really is.
It really is.
It's not a stop sign, although maybe we could put one up there.
No, safe routes, we just got approved. We're not doing stop sign.
Okay.
So I guess it returns to the motion. I mean, do we want to leave that as is? Do you all feel the need to modify that in any way? And I guess the only reason we would need a motion and to vote on is if you want something formal going to the village board.
Yes.
And if
that's
what you want,
intent.
Then we need you to hammer out a motion of some sort, and maybe it's right back to the original motion.
Well,
we
with the massage language, did you get some of the massage language in there?
Do we need to do a motion? I don't know if we need to.
Well,
I think that this should be formally presented to the village board, that we're thinking about these points initially.
Yeah.
And what can we do as a village through the trustees, through the Traffic and Safety Commission, through Eric Palm, to facilitate this
yeah.
this discussion with, hopefully,
yeah.
actually a rep, the human being from the railroad.
So I guess the motion would be that
the Traffic and Safety Commission request that staff work with the village board to request a on-site meeting with railroad staff to discuss the items on Commissioner Bass's handout here this evening.
That works.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I think that's probably facilitating that would probably have to come from a level, not a commissioner reaching out.
And that's fine, but if that's what you all want, are in agreement about, and if I'm going to paper this up for the village board, I, based on that motion that I just described, not necessarily made, I would just ask you all to vote on that so that we've got, I'm assuming, unanimous support for that to go to the board and that request to be made, because now that is extra step that an extra step that the board and staff is going to have to take. So I just want to make sure that we've kind of got unanimous support here.
And we'd like to attend that meeting.
Yeah.
Certainly. I would certainly make you all aware of that.
Everybody.
Yep.
Yeah.
Our esteemed chairman.
I got you all in an email group. That won't be a problem.
So do we need to formally make that motion that you exemplified?
Somebody make that motion that I just described.
Okay.
We'll do it that way.
So...
You don't have to reiterate it all.
The Traffic and Safety Commission would like to make a motion to have the board work with the village staff to set up a meeting with the railroad in order to discuss the points of action on the...
Handout
given to the Traffic and Safety Commission by Commissioner
Bass.
Okay. We have a second.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed?
Check.
Okay.
Oh, I'm aye.
So you weren't opposed, so we got that.
Thank you very much. Well,
certainly.
This is good.
No, I think this is important.
Yeah.
This is. I'm glad you guys brought this to our attention, because I just thought my kids were going up there and putting pennies on the tracks. So, I mean,
if your kids are up there putting pennies on the tracks, I would ask them not to, because there are people up there with guns.
Oh.
Because there are people what?
Up there with guns. There was a shootout at 5 in the morning that we could hear from our houses up on the track. And there were Maywood and then, of course, police up there, but you can't find anything because it's forested.
Yeah.
Are they walking across the tracks?
Yeah.
I mean, across the river on the tracks?
Yes.
Is that, it's not solid, is it?
Okay, well, we're there's a step.
Yeah.
There's
we're
a step
closer. Great.
Motion to adjourn.
Seconded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.